welcome. Is there a little echo on that? Tiny bit of echo? No?
That'd be cool. It'd be like a top 40 station.
I was kind of digging the echo.
Oh, yeah.
I've been on an echo station before.
Really?
It's pretty weird.
Boss radio.
Did it kind of mess with you?
At first, yes.
We're like the cave kids. This is how it sounds in the cave.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I can't beat off anymore.
I want to play soccer.
Come on, beat off one
swim. No, we're here for the best of. That's why we're here. And this week's best of is exciting, as always, with a pretty heavy conversation about the face-eating guy down in Florida. Which is, you know, a terrible story, and I know we handled it responsibly. I'm just going to assume that.
It's when we first found out about it, too.
Yeah, it was pretty dramatic.
And we still haven't learned, you know, we still haven't gotten you in the cage on some bath salt.
Why? Or Flocka. When is someone going to take Flocka and take BP immediately after? Very disappointing.
You. I want you to do it.
I'd love to do it. The Celebrity Rolodex gets a spin, and I don't even know where it goes. I just know usually when it's people like the Celebrity Rolodex, always. And then Dwight Gooden Logic, as Dwight, some more Dwight Gooden escapades and his way negotiating in and around them.
He's a good justifier.
Yeah, one of the best.
Was there a strawberry influence on that as well? Or?
You know, I always combine those guys, too. And it was weird to find out that there was a little bit of rivalry because Strawberry told on Dwight Gooden when he was getting some ass on the road.
Because right,
wasn't Strawberry jealous? Wasn't that what it was?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think Daryl was with his wife, and I think Dwight Gooden was nailing Daryl's side piece.
How is Doc doing?
So he told on him. He told his wife, yeah, you better tell that Mrs. Gooden that Dwight's fucking up.
Oh, God.
And I think Mrs. Gooden showed up.
Oh.
Didn't she?
That's a bad scene.
She joined
probably.
The road trip in progress.
I think my favorite Gooden story is that he missed the parade and then saw it on TV and realized he was late.
From a 85 crack house, yeah. Yeah, boy.
Oh, I'm supposed to be there.
I think he explained his way out of that.
Yeah, he's... you know, I'd forgotten what a mess Dwight Gooden became. What a huge mess. Oh,
did he throw a no-hitter late in his career?
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah, he did with the Yankees, right? Yeah.
More proof that
Brandon knows from fantasy.
The no-hitter is so lucky.
Yeah, well, 96.
Okay. And then we were calling Hink Dog's neighbors when Hink Dog was released, and... I got really pissed. I just remember getting really angry at one of the neighbors because they acted like, how dare you bother John Hinckley?
He's in a gated neighborhood now.
Yes.
Where a person that tries to kill the president should be in a gated neighborhood.
It's a fairly swanky neighborhood.
Yeah.
It is.
I think it is.
Backs up to a golf course.
Oh. The Dog family had some resources.
Didn't it back up to a golf course where Obama played? He could kill Obama. He could have killed Obama.
Oh, was that true?
That
did
part
that
of
happen?
The story?
Yeah, yeah, I think it was.
Oh, that's right. That's why they let him out.
Oh, man. If you'd have told me when he shot Reagan and James Brady, don't forget that, and there was an officer that was hit, that he would ever see the light of day, I would have said, no. Absolutely no way. So that's a
it's
pretty
crazy.
Incredible sequence of events and pretty stupid. But
and he has a band now. So
yeah, all that stuff about the chicks and the band. And I mean, what does that tell you when a guy's like 65, he's out of prison for killing the president, and he wants to have a band?
Priorities.
Limited marketing appeal, I'd say, except for the Hink Dog shot the president angle. Yeah.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
And then there's Al Fellhauer, as I guess is this when we got into his behavior at sporting events?
Yeah, and he's got very certain specific rules because he likes to sit on the outside and he can be a little pain in the butt.
Was this when we were talking about him being a hothead?
Oh, I think that comes up too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was shocked to find out he was a major hothead.
Yeah, at sporting events, big time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, almost like the kind of guy that is known for, like the guy at...
Unfortunately.
All right, I won't rub it in.
No, it's fine.
He's reformed. He's reformed to some degree, and I hope so, because he may be attending the Tigers game Sunday with me.
I know, I'm on pins and needles to find out if Tom's let his child down.
unless I hear
yours
something
down.
Real soon.
Oh, I've let her down plenty. Both of them already.
Well, no, Tom would be the one who buzz kills.
Oh, my nephew.
Charlotte's
yes.
Day.
Yeah.
It's not Charlotte. It's my nephew. So.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
We'll see about that one. But otherwise, hope you're having a great weekend. And this is the best of the Drew and Mike Show for your Saturday listening pleasure, hopefully. See you.
Because my boss would have never done that. No one, he would never knowingly done anything
this
like that.
This guy in Florida that just went nuts. And he was, well, this is the way I knew the story, was he was at dinner with his parents, and he was getting real antsy, and he just got up like he was going to the bathroom or something, and he left, and he never came back, murdered this couple, and was found, somebody who, like, walked in on this, or was trying to rescue these people, walked in on him trying to eat this guy's face off.
Oh, my God.
What?
Yes. You didn't hear about this?
No.
Yeah, it's crazy. And the guy that did this, the condition of the, he was, I heard he was going to die, but I guess maybe he's not. The condition of the 19-year-old college student accused of stabbing to death a married couple and biting flesh off the husband's face has been upgraded from critical to stable. He spent the night on life support. Lynn Martin County spokeswoman said in a text message that Austin Herroof is scheduled to undergo hand surgery later Wednesday. Why? So you can have a a perfect hand in prison? What's the point? Fuck his hand. Who cares? Cut it off.
Can you imagine waking up and some dude's eating your face?
Oh, this whole thing is insane. What about this guy waking up? He probably doesn't even know what he did. Because they said he was on bath salts.
Oh.
That's what I heard. What?
Okay. I feel like there's like tons of these stories. People do bath salts. I know.
Can we just like
eating people's faces?
In Florida.
Always Florida.
Have people not figured out that bath salts are not a great idea?
No.
I've heard so many bad stories, like people dying, a lot of people dying.
Unless you like eating faces, and it's probably the perfect drug.
Some faces look very tasty.
This is
what?
I just want to clarify something. This is the second face-eating bath salt story, isn't
At least.
In Florida.
Oh, is it more than two?
Oh, it happens all the time.
Because I remember one other one before this. Let me see
the
what
homeless
else
guy?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Let's see. According to the sheriff, the abnormally strong teenager was incoherent, making animal-like noises when he was transported to the hospital Monday. Leading investigators believe he may have been high on hallucinogenic drugs when he stabbed to death Michelle Mishkon Stevens.
Do you think that chimpanzee was on bath salts when he ripped that lady's face off? Remember Charlotte Nash? She had to get a new face.
Oh, that was such a bummer. I felt so bad for her.
That chimp was so on bath salts.
Yeah, she probably was. She was on Oprah, wasn't she?
Yeah. And then her face rejected her.
Oh, my God.
Oh, what a bummer to be rejected by your own face.
Well, it wasn't her original face.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, she rejected a stranger's face.
So why can't she just get another face? Why don't they do that?
You know what's funny? I remember seeing, might have been the first face transplant, and going, I would have rejected it. I would not have wanted that face. That face is ugly. And then I realized how ridiculous that is, that having no face, that you would just want a face.
Sure.
But wasn't the first face transplant between Nick Cage and John Travolta?
Yes, in Face Off. Yes, exactly.
Well, which one was thinking that face is ugly?
Yeah, both of them were.
Both. let me see what else they said about this guy.
That baby is ugly.
The FSU student is intubated. His parents have not been able to see him. Oh, they must be so excited about what the night their kid had. Jesus.
Right.
I need to know more. The FSU sophomore is described as a wonderful kid who's spending the summer in Martin County working. Has no prior criminal history. I'm sure he's wonderful. He just killed two people and ate one face off.
Face.
Everyone's in absolute shock. His family's devastated. The other family, and certainly devastated for their son. Hey, don't be devastated for him. He's the one that did it.
I know.
Did it to himself.
He must have been raised wrong if he ate somebody's face.
Mm, yeah, that's a big no.
Sound of that.
Yeah, he's really crossing some lines there. Sorry.
What about this restaurant where it happened? Are they still open, or does that make it fail some kind of health standard?
I know, they did.
Health code violation.
If they had just gotten the fucking food out in time, the kid would have eaten, he would have gotten all antsy.
And he would have gone, oh, this is terrible. This doesn't taste like face. One star review. I heard of the chicken wings, and they didn't taste like face.
Oh, my God. What's the restaurant's one star review?
True.
Are you already there?
I'm already a step ahead of you. How terrible.
Oh, boy.
In a released 911 call, the couple's neighbor, the dead couple's neighbor, can be heard breathing heavily after he heard screams and rushed to Stevens' house on Southeast Kokomo Lane to help, only to be stabbed several times himself. Also, he stabbed a third guy, too.
Jeez. Hollister is really showing up really great in this.
He's
wearing a Hollister's hoodie. What a proud moment for them.
Law enforcement arrived. They found the Florida State University student on top of John tearing pieces of his face off with his teeth in the driveway.
Oh, my God.
Deputies discovered Michelle's lifeless body inside the garage of their home. Female deputy used a stun gun on her several times in an attempt to subdue him, but it failed to work. So he's a freak. He's a monster. It took four deputies and a canine to get him off the victim.
Oh, my God.
Boy, he just really wanted that guy's face. Jeez. The suspect was described by a Martin County sheriff as grunting and growling, making animal noises.
Weird.
Responding deputies didn't shoot at her. Fearing their bullets would strike the victim as they did not know John was already dead. Oh, that sucks. Suspect in this case was abnormally strong. Wow. Somebody not feeling pain, not responding to dog bite, repeated stuns from a taser, taking three or four deputies. That's someone with a lot more strength than you normally encounter. Duh. Initial drug test came up negative for cocaine. He wasn't on cocaine. Are you
bath salts? He ate someone's face. Terrible detectives.
Methamphetamines, marijuana, and opiates. He wouldn't have been on any of those.
No. He ate a face. He's on bath salts.
Duh.
Next case closed.
I'm not going to speculate except to say that we know in our business that people on flocka or bath salts will do this type of behavior where they attack the victim and do the biting and actually remove pieces of flesh of the bites.
What? Who said that?
That's according to one of the officers.
Oh, boy.
Despite some signs, Roof may have been under the influence of flocka. What's flocka?
It's a brand of bath salts.
Oh, okay, yeah. Of course. Silly me. He did not have a raised body temperature, common among users of the drug. Flocka, which contains alpha PVP, a chemical compound similar to ingredients used to make bath salts, resembles a mix of crack cocaine and meth. So why are people still doing bath salts if there's a chance you'll eat someone's face off?
It's just a risk you're going to have to take. The high's that good.
Is it one out of 1,000? How many? Yeah.
I don't know if that causes you to eat a face, but if you eat a face, you're most likely on bath salts, right? I would
think yes. So.
God, yes.
Or a chimpanzee.
I guess I can see.
Went to Duffy's for lunch today. What a mistake. Service was absolutely horrible. The margarita tasted like Kool-Aid. And there was just a little more attitude than I'm comfortable with, and a restaurant employee will be returning to Duffy's location anywhere, anytime soon. Michael M., Fort Lauderdale.
Huh. Don't try not to get too excited.
Duffy.
We have the 911 call from the neighbor, but keep going.
Oh.
Duffy, you know what's funny about these Yelp reviews of this restaurant where this guy ate those people's face? He didn't eat their face. Did he eat their face at the restaurant?
No, at the guy's house. At his house.
But he started meal.
Driveway.
He started.
It's really inappropriate.
He started his night. Where's the right place to eat someone's face?
No, send that outside.
A bathroom? At the table with a napkin?
Well, the zombie.
Driveway.
The previous face eater was not the driveway.
Yeah, the previous face eater was on an overpass of a highway, so at least he's doing better than that guy.
That's bullshit. Yeah, really. I mean, the garage, maybe. You got to be outside.
Which fork do you use?
Always outside in. It depends what course you want to treat. What's funny about this restaurant, though, where his night starters, they reply to every one-star review.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's very trite.
They put a lot of shitty excuses.
We take full responsibility for this. We've sent you a message in hopes we can learn more from you. Garbage! Total garbage! Where the hell is the chicken mac and cheese? What the fuck? It just randomly disappeared. I'm about to bust a nut. One star. The guy's review.
What's the response to that?
PJ.
Oh, please don't bust a nut.
PJ. Thank you so much for taking the time to write in about the new menu. I forwarded your comments about your favorite mac and cheese dish to our corporate chef to take into consideration for future menu updates. Please let me know when you have any questions at all. And we look forward to seeing you soon. Sincerely. And
I don't think
email address.
I don't think technically he was writing about the new menu.
I don't know. The picture of his profile, though, was him in his football uniform, shoulder pads and all.
What? Yeah. Like in grade school or something?
He looks like a young high schooler. Yeah. I mean, after all, he's about to bust a nut over chicken mac and cheese. Let's see. That's his only review? Oh, man, this guy's got to get out there and review more.
Are there really that many one stars?
For this place, yeah. It's just a sports bar.
One more one star.
We find it short. I find short tends to be best, right?
Unless some of the really long ones are incredibly funny. There's no end to the disaster.
The hallmark of lousy chefs. Let's see.
The restaurant of the face eater.
They took what would have been a delicious steak and doused it with vile, disgusting. What's it? What's the sauce? Worcester sauce?
Worcestershire sauce?
Worcestershire sauce?
Whatever the fuck.
And rendered it inedible. How do you spell edible?
Inedible. E D I B L E.
Oh, they made it all one. Wait.
Indelible.
Indelible. Indelible. They rendered it indelible.
No longer read the steak.
Here's a clue. Here's a clue, Duffy's. Unless your meat was not running in the fourth race at Halea the other day, it does not need the flavor of the meat ruined.
Is there a manager's response to this?
Even ketchup won't cover the taste of the vile, rotted swill.
Man.
I know. I've tried when I've tasted a disgusting steak when it's served. Oh, they tried dousing it in ketchup. They just don't like Worcestershire sauce.
You don't buy a steak at a place like that anyway. Come on.
Thank you for taking the time to write this review. We sincerely apologize for your experience with the quality of the steak, and we'll be sending you a message to find out how we can make our wrong right.
Wow.
I got to tell you, they're on top of it, though.
This is a sports bar, right?
Yeah.
So why do these people think they're going to Ruth Chris Steakhouse and they're going to get this fabulous steak?
I don't know.
Going back to our face-eating guy.
Yes.
I know we all thought we were done with him, and you were so glad we'd moved on. But no, we're not moving on yet. Because Jay found the 911 call.
Oh.
And there is a little more. Let's see. I want to tell you what this bath salts do. Once ingested, the drug causes a feeling of euphoria, hallucinogens, and sometimes psychosis or apparent superhuman strength.
Wow.
Now, is that not a little tempting?
I want to try it, yeah.
I thought we were going to have to try bath salts. It's going to be before I tell somebody, hey, I can bench like 250. It's crazy. Just some bath salts and just freak someone out with my superhuman strength.
Just try it on a full stomach, please.
And just hope I don't eat their face off.
Wait, what else besides superhuman strength?
Hallucination.
And also euphoria too.
Euphoria.
Oh, okay.
I want the euphoria and the superhuman strength.
Yeah, definitely.
Get it made to order.
Can't have the yin without the yang, Trudy.
The individual. This happens too. The individual becoming psychotic. They often rip off their clothes and run into the street violently. demonstrating adrenaline-like strength, and police are called. It takes 4 or 5 at least to restrain them. Then once restrained, if they don't receive immediate medical attention, they die. Huff was sedated and intubated in the hospital after suffering cuts, bruises, and dog bites. He's currently in poor condition. I believe he ingested something called...
Face.
Causing intestinal problems. Yeah. In addition to face.
What are the side effects from having face?
It's nutritious. It's good protein.
The side effect of face.
Jay was just speculating on how that Woodstock crowd would have looked if they'd all ingested bath salt.
Oh, my gosh.
No faces. 200,000 eaten faces and 200,000 euphoric people's superhuman strength.
Ooh.
Beating the shit out of the bands. let's hear this 911 call. This guy has got to be as freaked out as anyone. He just witnessed someone eating someone's face.
God.
911, do you need fire, police, or medical?
Please. And medical.
Medical on the line. It's late, sir.
There you go.
Don't open that.
Fire rescue, what's your address?
Young man beating up a woman across the street.
Okay, are they outside or in a house?
It's in a garage.
Okay, can you tell if he has any weapons?
I think he had a knife, but I'm not positive.
Okay, can you tell if she's injured or he's injured?
Mm-hmm. Say again?
Are either of them injured? Can you tell from where you are?
Yes, there's a girl laying on the ground. He beat her up. I ran over there. I'm bleeding profusely here at the moment.
Okay.
I don't know what happened.
All right, can you tell if she's conscious or is she unconscious?
Say again?
Can you tell if she's conscious?
No, it does not appear so, no.
Okay, and what kind of injuries do you have?
I've been stabbed in the back.
With a knife?
Yes, I believe so. It was tough to tell.
Okay, you couldn't tell how long it was or anything?
We needed an ambulance.
We're sending them. And where is he? Is he
in the garage, right across the street from my house.
Question?
Yes.
He's stabbed in the back at this point.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Is that, I mean, I'm assuming that's his wife.
Yeah.
He's just yelling, oh my God.
She's freaking out.
Why doesn't she help render aid to her husband who's been stabbed in the back? Isn't that a little odd?
Except he's just walked in the front door and described someone eating someone's face off across the street. So they're both freaked
she
out.
She could be on the lookout, I suppose.
Okay. This is how hard this guy's breathing.
Oh my, well, he's got stabbed in the back. I didn't know that.
I know. It's nuts.
Isn't it funny how people always think when they're asking questions that nothing is being accomplished and they're always like, please just send an ambulance.
Oh, I know.
And they're like, yeah, we've done that. We're just asking you questions now.
I know, like they're just sitting there conducting a survey.
Great point.
You know.
All right. What's your name? Okay. All right, we're going to get the paramedics right out there.
Sir, what did the guy look like? Was he white, black, Hispanic?
He is white.
You know how old he is?
About 25 years old.
He's 19.
And what was he wearing?
Shorts and a t-shirt.
Do you know who he is?
I have no idea.
Does he live at that house, or?
No, he does not.
Did the female look familiar to you?
I believe it was the daughter of the house that lives over there. I'm not positive.
Can you have your wife or, I don't want you moving if you've been stabbed, but can you have your wife or someone look out and see if he's still there?
I don't know. See if that car's still there, honey. It appears he's still there.
Oh, boy.
And you said you definitely saw a knife, and that's what he hit you with in the back?
No, I did not see it, but my wife's looking in my back, and it appears I got punctured.
Yes, Dad. In the neck, in the head, three puncture wounds.
How much is there to type, for Christ's sake?
Okay, we got units en route, okay?
Okay.
All right. Just
take your time.
If anything changes, all right?
No, don't
put that on me. Like I'm dying?
What is going to change that much?
Okay, we got an ambulance and everybody in route. Just stay right there and stay calm, okay?
Okay, thanks.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Stay calm as if he was already calm. Look at the picture of this guy. This is the face-eating guy. That kid there.
He looks
just
amazing.
Reading.
Isn't that weird? I mean, I'm blown away. I'm thinking these fast salts give you the most incredible superhuman strength because I can't see that guy pulling all that off.
With four guys on top of a mannequin.
Killing and stabbing two people and eating a guy's face off. That guy!
Reading a quote from the sheriff in the story.
Yeah.
You know, so it started at that restaurant and that he got up and left.
Right.
The sheriff said the meal was slow in getting there and that's why he got up and left.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Oh, you read that? Is there an echo?
Well, I just heard he was getting antsy, and he just was kind of pissed. Because
the meal was slow?
He got up. Well, I think they might have said that. But he got up, and they thought, was he going to the bathroom or something? And he just left.
Yeah, I remember you saying that part. I didn't know it was because the meal was slow in getting there.
Well, if he would have had better service, he might not have.
They would have gotten the face to the table on time.
If this restaurant would solve its problems instead of being so busy covering their ass, answering one-star reviews on Yelp, that mean nothing.
Speaking of which, you want another one?
Oh, one-star review?
Yeah.
Oh, we can always use another one-star review.
Ants in the food. Constantly cold food. Throw money in the street. Must avoid this place. Throw money in the street.
Ants in the food.
Ants in the food.
Gross.
One star. Manager on duty. Large, middle-aged female. Was the worst I've ever experienced. That's saying a lot since I've been a server for 14 years.
Ooh.
I've been a loyal customer for 4 years, but I always went to the one on East Indian Town. This was my first and last visit to this location. I'll drive the extra 5 miles.
My, my, my.
One star. This place sucks. Tom, why don't we start calling every contact in your phone to see which numbers still work? And which ones don't.
I have every number I have, it works.
I've done that before. It's great. Yeah. Every number you have in there works.
Yes.
Well, let's go. Who's the first one under A?
You really want to do this?
Let's just see who the first one is under A.
Fun to find out. We have you guys trade off numbers in your books and find out who has a failed number first.
I have Aaron Boone first.
Nope. Aaron Boone?
Let's
do it. Aaron Boone, we had nothing to lose there.
I have Aaron Boone. He will answer this phone.
Well, then we'll move on to Mark's Rolodex.
He's doing Monday Night Baseball right now as we speak.
Well, let's find out. Then we'll hear his voicemail. We'll know what it's really his phone.
I don't want to ruin it.
I don't want to ruin it.
All right, go ahead, call him. There you go, Jay. He's terrific.
I was going to say
it's a good interview.
We couldn't believe that Tom Masway actually had his phone number.
Somebody does a great job on Sunday Night Baseball.
Aaron Boone, allegedly. Fake.
What if Drew doesn't think
ESPN? He's traveled to Pittsburgh. Yeah, ask him about Jagoff.
Don't answer.
Be someone else's voicemail, please. Be someone else's voicemail.
Don't answer. Come on. Don't answer. Be Brett Boone.
It's him.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated messaging system.
That's some
system.
Chick.
Shucks.
I win.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, didn't it? Didn't work.
Available.
I don't need to go into mine.
How about Al Bubba Baker?
Should we call him?
Why not?
Yeah, why not? Yeah, let's call him. Al Bubba Baker.
What do you want to call him for?
I don't know.
Okay.
He was awesome.
He was.
The Silver Streak defensive line, right?
Yeah.
Wait, they call it Silver Streak? Is that right?
The Silver Rush. Now, Bubba Baker is into ribs now.
Mm-hmm. Didn't we talk to him?
Markets his ribs. Yeah, we talked to him.
Oh, you guys did. I didn't.
No.
I don't think.
Yeah.
Hell, Bubba Baker.
Bubba Baker's got better ribs
somebody
than
stole
Billy
Sims' grill or something?
Yeah.
Who's where'd it get stolen from?
No, someone did steal like a big smoker. Bubba Baker doesn't work.
Oh!
It doesn't work.
Oh, for two, my man.
Two for two.
That's not a dead number.
Yes, it is.
There's a doorknob. What do you got, Joe?
I'll trade somebody for a Bobby Bowden.
Bobby Bowden, now you know that one works.
Bobby Bowden. He was a good interview. I enjoyed talking
about
him.
How about Andre Drummond? Do you want him?
No. You're 0 for 2, Maz.
You know Buzz Aldrin?
I'm not 0 for 2. The Buzz first Aldrin? Guy answered.
Should we call Buzz?
You know Buzzer answers. You know he answers.
Yes, we should call Buzz. Wait, let's see. What's the
Danny Ainge was first. You want Danny Ainge?
If you call and ask him about the JFK documentary, we're wondering about the spatial disorientation that JFK experienced.
That would be great.
Explain it to us?
Yes.
It's kind of ridiculous, but it's a premise.
Let's do it.
All right.
He's the best pilot we knew.
He's going to be mad when he called. Wasn't he mad the last time we called him?
No, he always ends up okay.
Oh, he loves talking.
Yeah, he ends up okay.
You sure he wasn't mad?
He's mad that you didn't go through his people, but then he gets over it because he's so happy that he's getting attention.
You know what, Drew? He just tweeted out something the other day. His, what was it? Oh, you know, when you go.
You're lighting up again?
Man.
What are you, his mom?
You're off the podcast.
Oh, damn it.
He tweeted out his reimbursement.
Worried about your health.
His reimbursement for one of his space trips, like when he got back to NASA, he had to fill out a reimbursement form, and so he found it. I guess cleaning out one of his trunks.
How much did he get reimbursed for?
I don't know. I gotta find it. It was actually really funny.
That sounds pretty cool.
Someone else had posted it. Come on, Buzz, answer.
Come on, Buzz, don't answer.
I mean, Buzz has to be a pilot, of course.
Yeah,
an astronaut. He's got to be a. I'm sure he thinks he's
Did you get Sully yet on the phone?
Drew, he has a new book out, too.
Sully?
Yeah.
If you want to plug his book.
Oh.
No Dream is Too High.
Oh.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Shucks. Damn. Wait, did you call a cell?
There's another one. There's two. Try the other one. He's at home.
Yeah, try the other one. The other one could well be. That's a landline, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mrs. Aldrin used to answer the phone.
His mother's maiden name was Moon.
Moon? What? Really?
Buzz Moon?
Buzz Moon Aldrin.
Here's his reimbursement for his moon.
Wow, that's incredible.
You've reached Buzz Aldrin Enterprises.
Boo.
Please take note that our office number has changed.
Oh.
You can reach us
cool.
at for any business or interview inquiry.
Boring.
Please send an email to media.com.
Oh, we got it. Okay, cool.
Sweet.
Man, now I have three numbers for Buzz that none work.
Oh, no, those numbers are good. I don't think Buzz is ever changing his numbers, no matter how many times we harass him. I'm trying to remember what our most ludicrous call to Buzz Aldrin has been. I mean, there's so many options for that category.
Dancing with the Stars.
No, that was more reasonable. We've had some more ridiculous ones.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about that.
The moon landing was faked.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that.
See, Mark, you suck, too.
We talked about jumping off a plane at the last minute before a crash, too, I think. Didn't we discuss that with Buzz?
Yeah, he said it was true.
Hey, look, here he comes.
Good evening. This is Buzz Aldrin Enterprises.
Hi, this is Drew, Mark, and Maz. We're calling for an interview with Buzz Aldrin. We're with a broadcast in Michigan.
I'm sorry, this wasn't scheduled.
Yeah, I thought it was set up. Our producer
had his book.
Alleged it was set up.
New book.
Got a new book.
Yeah, No Dream Is Too High. Available where bookstores are sold.
I'm sorry. Did you go through Christina Corp on this?
Yeah. I'm not sure because our producer just left, but you know, he did mention the name, and it sounds familiar to me. You know, I just don't have it written down. He just gave us the number.
Sorry,
and the time.
I don't have it on the calendar, and it is about 7 o'clock in the evening here.
Oh boy. Mm. Well, you know, geez, I'm so sorry. It's been a mistake apparently on your end. But would there be any way Buzz could just give us a few minutes?
No, I'm sorry. Everything like this must go through Christina Corp.
Yeah, it did.
But I can't.
Okay.
Do you have somebody else who could pinch hit for Buzz? Because we got a hole on our show.
Mrs. Aldrin.
I'm sorry. No, there. No.
Heads are going to have to roll.
Mrs. Aldrin's not available? Could you get us Jim Lovell?
I'm sorry. You're going to have to get in touch with Christina.
How about Mrs.
Corp.
Moon?
No, would Jim Lovell be available possibly?
Clearly a new job opening here for messing
John
us
Glenn?
Up. It's embarrassing.
Do you represent John Glenn?
I'm really embarrassed, ma'am.
Hello? Ma'am?
I'm sorry. You're going to have to go through Christina Corp on this.
Okay, but do you represent John Glenn also? Would he be available to pinch hit possibly?
No, we do not, and you're going to have to get through Christina Corp, and she can be reached at media.com.
Media.
Okay. No, a lot of people have pinch hit type interview people available. Is there anyone available for Buzz to pinch hit?
No. Christina Corp would be it.
Just got a big hole in the show to fill now. Mrs. Aldrin would be available? She's a great interview, too.
We've talked to her before. Write up our producer.
There is no Mrs. Aldrin.
He's already been written up twice.
There's no Mrs. Aldrin.
This is a third
Thank
strike
you.
For him.
Have a good evening.
Mrs. Aldrin pass?
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Wait.
Mrs. Aldrin die?
No, remember he got remarried to... Wait, did he get a divorce?
Well, there were some issues, Buzz.
With the second one?
I think she divorced him.
She just said there
was... What if that was her? That's his new piece of ass.
She said there's no Mrs. Aldrin. I just wonder if she died.
She didn't even care that Joe's losing his job.
Want to play spin the wheel here on my phone? I could just spin it, and then whenever it stops, that's the number we call?
We're never going to remember where we left off.
She did not dig
the concept.
You're going
to
purposely stop at somebody you know will answer.
Stop!
Okay, it is in the T's and U's. Okay, you have your choice of Uncle Al.
No.
Uncle Joe's cell.
No.
Uncle Paul.
No.
University Pharmacy.
Those are family members.
How about Richard and Kathy Verlander?
No, God, no.
No?
Boring.
Don't
want to plug their book. Don't want to plug their boring book.
How about Warren Pierce?
No!
Okay.
No. We know what he'll want to plug.
Oh, that was terrible, Tom. Go the other way.
All right. You have to tell me when
to stop.
Tell me when to stop.
I guess we're destined to call Uncle Albert.
When to stop.
Stop!
Sean Hayes, the actor?
Sean Hayes? From Will and Grace?
My cousin. We got Sean.
Your cousin was in Will and Grace?
How about Sean McDonough, ESPN?
Nah, he's a good
Monday Night Football. He's
a great interview.
We got Sean Belegian. Want to talk to Sean?
Sure.
Sean Belegian.
I saw Sean yesterday. He's doing well. Spin the wheel. We now have the P's. We got Peter King. You want Peter King?
Which Peter King?
Peter King?
There's like four famous Peter Kings.
Peter King, the
Sports
commentator?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, he's terrible.
What's that of King Kong?
He's a boob.
Can we ask him about the Trump interview, the Trump debates? Or the,
sure.
The debates?
Why not?
You know?
Well, there.
Wait, can we spin my wheel? Tell me when to stop.
I think the Trump concept is odd enough to throw him off his game a little bit. Maybe he'll attempt to answer, even though he'll have no idea.
Got Phil Garner in here for you. Scrap iron.
Former Tiger manager.
Yep.
Let's try Peter King, and this will be a wrap.
Okay.
I have Peter King's number, too. Here you go.
You probably have the wrong one.
Oh, Mark, one-upping Miz. Let's see if it's the same number.
Yeah, it's one of them. I have two.
Wow.
Mark, you only have one of his numbers?
You want to eat up that much data on your phone?
If you want to really get a hold of him. If you want to quit as just one try.
It's Peter King. That's how he answers the phone.
Can't be much of a guest.
It's Peter
He's not
King.
This number. I don't give a shit about him.
Why try?
Although some of our biggest issues were caused by having too many numbers for somebody to remember. Just making copies. Hello, Peter.
Hello,
Peter King.
Yes.
Hey, how are you? It's Drew, Mark, and Maz. We're calling from our podcast in Michigan. We just had a quick question. If you got a minute.
I'm at a training camp. You're gonna have to call me back.
Oh, I thought we had something set up.
I had a scoop. I had a scoop.
We got Peter King. I win. I win.
That was a very brief.
You win. You're one for five.
Mr. Peter King, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's find out what. I want to find out what training camp he was at.
You call him back on your own time.
Peter King on training camp.
That was quite a blow off.
Peter King. He thought someone was calling him with a hot tip.
I'm afraid the word podcast might have been the key word there.
Podcast?
I'm at a training camp. That's a stock, stock answer.
I'm at a training camp. Monday morning quarterback. That's what he does.
That's Madden excuse. I'm in a meeting.
Being a training camp is like, I mean, what bigger blow off is there than I'm at a training camp? As if you don't have a minute at training camp.
Do you have John Madden's number?
Yeah, I do.
Do you?
Yeah.
Let's give John a call.
Can we do one more?
I'll let you spin the wheel one more time. Do you want to spin the wheel?
No, just call John Madden.
John Madden.
All right, let me see.
I want to see if he still uses the excuse of either I'm in a meeting.
I don't have it.
Still sleeping.
I'm sorry. Nope. I lost a ton of numbers when Greater Media shut my email down. Mark, say stop.
Stop.
Call more. Okay, it's in the J's. We got Jim Palmer, Hall of Famer. Jim Price.
It's interesting. No.
Jimmy Jackson.
Ooh, that's interesting.
JJ?
Yep. Wait, Joanna Tuttle.
The basketball player, Jimmy Jackson.
Oh, not Dynamite.
Sure. No.
Joanna Tuttle.
That's Jimmy Walker, isn't it?
That's Jimmy Walker.
Jabba, by the way, just won the PGA Championship. Congratulations.
Jabba Chamberlain.
Jabba?
Yeah.
The Jobbers?
Joe Madden.
I don't think Joe Madden's answering his phone today.
How about Joe Theismann? I got Joe Theismann.
Joe the Isman.
We won't be able to get rid of Joe the Isman. He'll be on for hours.
He has to take a piss.
Yeah.
I got John Clayton.
The professor.
John Clayton.
I have Peter Maroulis. Evan Marriott.
Peter Maroulis.
It's right ahead of Evan Marriott. Can we just try?
Let's call Evan Marriott.
Let's just see who has Evan Marriott's number now.
Evan Marriott is the...
Joe Millionaire is Evan Marriott.
Joe Millionaire, right.
And apparently I have his number from, what, 20 years ago?
Something like that, yeah. Allegedly had $40, $50 million. And he was a prince or something, and all those chicks went on the show to try and marry him. And
he's just a heavy equipment operator.
Heavy equipment operator.
Tell him Zora gave us the number.
Zora.
I got John Smoltz.
Smoltz a great
name. I'd rather talk to Joe Millionaire.
All right. I kind of would too right now.
What's his real name?
Evan Marriott.
Evan Marriott, that's right.
I can't believe Peter King hung up on us.
This will be good, because if it's not him, I can just delete the number.
He's not accepting calls.
Not accepting calls?
What?
No, I believe you. I just think that's weird. He's not accepting calls.
Evan Marriott.
Maybe he's shooting.
The person you are trying to reach is not accepting calls at this time. Please try your call again later.
Maybe he's shooting another Joe Millionaire.
MC Hammer?
Yay. We have MC Hammer's number?
Isn't Ditka from Pennsylvania?
Yeah, Western Pennsylvania.
Oh, he'd be great to get.
Who?
Ditka.
Well, I can't delete Evan Marriott's number.
Talking to Ditka a lot of times.
Jenny McCarthy?
Yeah, let's call her about the about Sharknado 18.
All right. I doubt this is weak. I doubt that's going to be her because it ends in 00.
All right, this is our last call, everybody.
Uh-oh.
Last call.
But at least I can delete these out of my phone if we know they don't work.
Yeah, this is kind of a fun exercise.
Evan Marriott, I'm not too certain about, though.
When you get back to bad reviews, people are begging for bad reviews.
Oh, I read a bunch about the place where Hillary made the glass ceiling breaking announcement.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's some great bad reviews of that restaurant.
Cool.
I always like it when it's something that's in the news.
Yeah, no, it is fun. I've started doing it myself.
You know, you can review like dentists and doctors. Hello?
Jenny?
Rudy, heads up.
Michelangelo Hotel, this is Julie. How can I help you?
What?
This is Jenny McCarthy's number?
This is the Michelangelo Hotel.
Could you ring us up to Jenny McCarthy's room, please?
One second, please.
Thank you. No, so we'll still get her. She's there. It's where she lives.
What is she, Rick Majerus?
This is her number.
She like Rick Majerus?
Apparently.
Come on, while we're young. Why isn't it the Michelangelo? It's got to be the Michelangelo.
Jenny MacArthur. I don't have
McCarthy.
McCarthy.
McCarthy, not MacArthur.
Okay, how do you spell it?
McCarthy.
MCCARTHY. Unless it's EY.
No, I don't have that person registered at the hotel.
Okay, she's supposed to do an interview with us. Do you have somebody who could pinch hit for her?
another Jenny.
Don't tell him. I mean, you got a big place there. It's
another celebrity.
Pretty swanky, pretty stuffy. I mean, Michelangelo. Jeez.
I'm sorry.
Well, you're the Michelangelo, and it's kind of a stuffy hotel. You got to have some pretty important people staying there. Could somebody pinch hit for Jenny since she's not available?
It's an interview.
Got an interview, ma'am, with Jenny, and you're telling me you're blowing me up, telling me she's not available. So I just need you to find somebody to pinch hit for.
We don't have Jenny McCarthy registered at this moment.
We know. So find somebody else who can do the interview for her.
Ask about the concierge.
You're burning daylight, man.
Who's the most famous person at the hotel besides Jenny? Or at her level, approximate level, that'd be fine.
I'm sorry, I cannot transfer you anywhere, so I'm going to hang up.
Anywhere?
What do you mean you can't?
One star. Don't waste your time and money. The hotel is a disappointment from start to finish. No complimentary breakfast, no coffee or tea in the rooms, new microwave to heat your coffee backed up, toilets annoying. Wait, this person is so angry, they're missing commas. No coffee or tea in the rooms.
Don't let Mike go to if the toilets are bad.
New microwave to heat your something. Backed up toilet. Noisy air conditioner. Disgruntled staff. Oh, that makes sense.
Disgruntled
staff. Trying very hard to do their jobs. Undercover boss needs to make a trip here.
Where's it located?
Don't provide pinch hit interviewers.
The management actually responded to that one star. Dearest Robert. Oh, dearest Robert, thank you for sharing your feedback with us. We are so disappointed to hear that your stay with us did not meet your high expectations. We take a lot of pride in providing our guests with a high-quality experience, and your stay with us does not reflect that. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, well, we are still aware there.
Please go fuck yourself.
Well, we are still aware that there are no do-overs in our business. I can only ask that you accept our sincerest apology for failing to meet your well-deserved expectations.
Had you needed a pinch-hit interview, you'd have found our services to be wonderful.
Oh, man.
Regularly, we provide pinch-hit interviews.
Charged us for smoking in the room, and we do not smoke. One star. Oh, you know what's funny? Oh, my gosh. Wait a sec. April 11, 2016. Two people left shitty reviews for the same room. Room 303.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Well, they both get charged for smoking?
Yeah.
What street is it on, Mark?
I'll hit
it for us on my trip to Jersey.
Let's see. One star. Bad attention. Bad service. Bad breakfast. You can't ask anything. You can't ask anything. All is not. Receptionist is very bad. Don't resolve any. Oh, they're from Argentina, hence the broken.
Ah,
dearest Sandra. They respond to that one, too. Oh, man. Do you not expect this stuffy, fancy hotel to have such bad reviews?
I wonder what this hotel looks like, if it's really the Michelangelo. Or if it's just, like, sometimes people put swanky names on shitbag hotels.
It's really highly rated.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. That's why it's funny. There's some negative reviews.
Just not room 330.
Is there another one star?
I have never complained to management before, and I'm not a person who has a sense of entitlement. But, come on, you can't start it that way. It's like saying, all due respect, I've stayed at this hotel several times as part of the preferred group. I just arrived in New York, and the room was not ready. I'm a trauma surgeon. I'd been up since 3:30, and the day before I was very busy in the operating room.
Ooh.
I'd been on call and was very, very tired. By the way, this guy's profile is titled Super Duck.
Oh, my.
Super Dick.
Well, wait, as if these people are supposed to know how tired you are when you show up. Well, waiting for the room.
I hate it when the room's not ready, though. I think that blows.
I think it's bullshit if you have a reservation and it's not ready.
But expensive hotel. I mean, you don't stay there 24 hours. You only stay there like 12.
He is no more entitled than any other guest because he's tired.
But he's Super Doc.
Well, he's just pointing out that he wanted the room to be ready.
Get a room
with
Super Doc. While waiting for the room to be available, I fell asleep on a chair. If it was ready. I had my feet on a table. I was wearing scrubs. Oh, you did that on purpose so people know you're a doctor? I was awakened by a chubby manager who gruffly told me to take my feet off the
coffee table. Chubby manager?
What's wrong with being chubby?
How dare you, chubby man? How dare you be chubby and tell me to take my feet down? Remove these feet at once!
40 pounds, and then you can tell me.
Well, this can be an example of an employee with poor customer relationship skills. My letter to the management was met with a form letter, which basically was a brush off. It's a very nice, clean hotel near Times Square. Nice to stay in, but I would never go back there. Take note, I was not some kid kicking an antique. This is a very well-worn coffee table, and I was wearing rubber shoes.
Well-worn.
So my business now goes elsewhere. This guy had a...
Wow, he really had a shit fit over that.
How dare you tell me to take my feet down off this well-worn coffee table? How dare you?
What the fuck does that mean?
And you're chubby to boot!
Well, now I'm kind of interested in his...
Send a svelte person over and I'll think about it.
Super duck. Oh, he's got another one-star review for a hotel.
Let's hear it.
All right, let me go to...
Super his... Doc does?
Dick.
Yeah. Contributions of 15. Super Doc. God, TripAdvisor's the best to read these. Ratings. Wow. Oh, that's for food. I don't care about your food.
See what he said about his food.
Nah, he gives them all high. Oh, this one, except needs a Gordon Ramsay reboot. An asshole. Oh, his other one star was for a restaurant. Las Vegas, Bouchon. Very disappointing. Really? A five-star restaurant, and he gives it one star.
Bouchon.
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 Super Doc is a
he's such a Bouchon. Douche.
No more!
All right, yeah, well...
No! Stop it!
Reservation at Bouchon for Mr. and Mrs. Salahi. Mr. and Mrs. Super Doc. Super Doc. Your table at Bouchon is ready. And your room at the Michelangelo is now prepared, and your table is ready at Bouchon.
Stop laughing.
Mr. and Mrs. Super Doc. Agent Super Doc family. We have a cold azul for Super Doc.
I saw that Journey special on MTV Classic yesterday where Arnel Pinatas goes home.
Yeah.
And sings in the Philippines or whatever. And I saw Neil Sean just jamming away. All I could think of was Mrs. Salahi backstage.
Blowing somebody else. Neil,
yeah, probably.
Mr. and Mrs. Neil Sean.
So stupid.
Room available for Mr. and Mrs. Neil Sean. And your dinner's prepared at Bouchon.
Mr. and Mrs. Salahi.
How could my memory of that be so far off from reality?
Who cares?
I know.
All right.
Don't know.
It's a wrap. Should we call a neighbor of Hink Dog?
Neighbor? Yeah. Is he's got to be home by now, right?
Is he home? Absolutely. For sure. These people live on the same block. I mean, they live within a couple houses.
Vision of Hink Dog cutting the grass for mommy because mommy's like 90 and just halfway through getting tired and just leaving the
mower sitting there.
The mower just sitting on the ground being a total load. Mom! Mower's out of gas.
You're so big, Mom.
Mom, the mower's out of gas. Remember, I can't drive without anybody, Mom.
I don't know how to get the oil gas mix.
You
gotta do it.
He stands up and starts kicking the ground like a big baby.
Hello?
Hi, is this Timothy?
Yes.
Hi, this is Drew and Mark. We're calling from a broadcast in Michigan, and we wondered if you had a couple minutes for us.
What kind of broadcast are you calling from?
It's a podcast, actually. Which is like an internet radio show.
Sure.
Oh, great. We know that you live on the same block. We believe you live in the same block as John Hinckley, who was just let go from prison.
Yeah, look, I'm sorry. I don't want to talk about that.
Oh, you should have heard the change in your voice when you first answered.
Well, no, that's not true. So thanks for calling.
Oh, you don't
I'm perfectly happy and problem.
Well, that's all I wanted to know. That's all I wanted to know. I'm not trying to lead you into an answer. Yeah. I just wondered if you had concerns or if you were fine with it.
I'm fine with it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Are you tight with the family, with the parents?
Thanks for calling, guys.
Have you seen him cutting the grass?
Well, nice being a presidential murder lover. Attempted murder
lover. Yeah. Well, he did murder Brady.
But yeah, he's a nice guy. He talked to us.
Just like everything else, he does it really slow. Even he murders really slow.
It takes 30 years for the guy to die.
Remember, Hinckley's in a band too, so he's probably rocking in the.
He's taking guitar lessons, and by the way, guy giving guitar lessons won't talk either.
Really?
I tried to call him.
How bad does that guy need?
I have nothing to say.
How God, that must take Hinckley forever to pick up anything on the guitar.
I love that Hinckley has all these people just kissing his ass nonstop around the clock. Neighbors, guitar experts.
You just get mom, of
Wendy's.
Course. Yeah, Wendy's.
Mom. It's one big ass kiss. I guess maybe. No, I'm not going to say it.
Mom! Should we just go to the source and call Mama again?
We could. Yeah, we should call her. Let's try one more neighbor. I bet you every single one of them is going to kiss his ass.
You think he's ever taken a good picture? Like if you click on images of him.
Well, John, you don't think like he takes good pictures? He always looks so lively. He's got that get up and go. The spunk. It's just the spunk is just flying out of him in every picture I see.
Hello?
Hello, Miss Bostwick Foley?
Yes.
Hi, this is Drew and Mark. We're calling from our broadcast here in Michigan, and we wanted to just ask you, because we think you might be a neighbor of John Hinckley, if you have any problem with him being released from prison.
I don't know who you are, and I don't answer questions like that over the telephone.
Oh, could I come over?
I beg your pardon?
Is it okay if I stop over and ask you?
Where do you live?
We're in Michigan, actually, but we're researching the John Hinckley being released from prison and getting opinions. And so I could come by and get your opinion in person because you said you don't like to talk about it on the phone.
If you live in Michigan, how are you going to come by?
Oh, I can fly there. I've got a private jet.
Airplanes?
Well, yeah.
We do a lot of reporting.
Well, I think not. Thank you.
No, well, when can I talk to you? If you want to talk in person or...
Bye-bye.
Cut her excuse down to shreds.
It was a great...
I don't talk about things like that on the phone.
Oh, you don't talk about it in person either, huh? Well, how do you talk about it?
It's funny how quick it just changed to proving her wrong. Oh, that's great.
I know. Why would I need to prove that? I mean,
why won't
she's
anybody
just
talk about
uncomfortable.
It?
Because everyone wants to kiss his ass.
Are they afraid he's going to shoot people?
No, they just... Apparently, they like his mother. That's my personal opinion.
Well, you can have an opinion about somebody and their mother, and they both be different. You know?
Yeah, of course. He did shoot the president.
I don't give any opinions on my phone.
You have reached the Melvin residence.
Didn't give him in person either. And how am I going to get there? Duh! There's air travel, lady. I'm going to walk there.
Michigan.
I'll worry about how I'm going to get there. Don't question me like I'm not. What, you think I'm not coming? Is that what you're trying to say? That I don't have the wherewithal to get to your frickin' house? I'm coming, lady!
You think I am Hinckley?
I didn't shoot anybody.
I know. She hates you more than she hates
exactly.
The guy that
she
shot
does.
The president.
I nicely asked a question.
Oh, man.
Give it a shot, Jay.
What? Hink mom?
Ms. Hink dog.
Oh, boy.
Why not?
Oh, John, please answer.
Hello?
Mom!
Mark, he's gonna have that special jump in his step when he answers that phone.
Hello?
Hi, Mrs. Hinckley. This is Drew and Mark calling from our podcast in Michigan. How are you today, ma'am?
Doing fine.
Good. We just were calling to see if you were happy about John being released from prison and if it presented any problems for you.
No, and I don't need to speak any further.
Well, congratulations.
Well, you know, there's a little concern
right,
about it because he did shoot the president, ma'am.
Has John been helping around the house?
Is he mowing the lawn? I mean, people act...
Bye-bye.
Did you hear how crank John had that TV, by the way?
You know,
it reminded me of that grandma when it's, Mom, turn the phone off. I'm sick of hearing you blaring over the airwaves. What's her name? Francis? Was it Francis?
Francis, yes.
Mom, I'm sick of hearing you blaring over the phone.
That's where. That who's on the phone comes from? The same. Grandma picks up the phone after the phone message is gone, and then the granddaughter picks it up and just starts chewing out grandma. And they're in a house of skank. That's why we're calling them, because it's a house of fucking skank. There's like dog shit everywhere. There's like 50 dogs. There was dog crap all over the place. I recused myself from the conversation because Mike Clark was asking how soft the turds were.
The orthopedic shoes.
Mom, hang up the phone. I'm trying to watch. What would Hinkley want? I'm trying to watch Mama's Family. I don't know. What would Hinkley, Johnny?
Matlock.
I was trying to think of some shit show from the early 80s he'd be watching. Oh, Mom, God. I'm trying to get caught up with MacGyver.
T.J. Hooker. T.J. Hooker's coming to the climax. Honestly, those people would have you believe that he did not shoot the president. He shot the president.
Not guilty.
And yet they act like it's the most ridiculous. How could anyone be calling me and expecting me to answer a question about such a thing? You live right next to the guy that shot the president.
Not guilty.
Yeah, reason of insanity.
Oh,
looking at books on assassins when he was at the bookstore not too long ago?
He's lied to his doctors a ton about what he's been doing. They've caught him repeatedly lying.
No, it's how anyone can think that this is okay. Call me fucking nuts. I thought if you shot the president and you actually hit him, I thought even if you missed him, if you tried to shoot the president, it was quite apparent that you were shooting your gun at the president, that you would never see the light of day again.
He's not guilty,
though.
You
didn't have a chance not a chance in hell you'd ever see the light of day again.
He didn't do it.
He did do it.
That's
he
so
hit
funny.
The president. Hit James Brady. He hit two cops. He shot four fucking people.
It wasn't my fault. I did it for Jody. I was trying to impress a lesbian. Mom, they're trying to say shot of the president.
I'm trying to get a lesbian to want my penis. I do something special.
Okay, Johnny.
And I just saw a taxi driver.
What a turd.
I was doing my De Niro impersonation. Hey, we were talking about Doc Gooden and Daryl Strawberry and the documentary, the 30 for 30 on ESPN last night.
Yeah.
Which was really good. And I mentioned, I couldn't believe how much shit those guys got into. I don't know how many rehab trips each of them had, but it's some ridiculous number.
Yeah.
And, of course, complete with escapes from rehab. And
that was my favorite story. Well, besides missing the parade.
Yeah, missing the parade, which, by the way, we'll play that for you right now if you didn't see it. Doc Gooden had just... Well, they just won the 86 World Series. Doc did not perform well in the World Series.
No, he was 0-2, yeah.
Lit up.
And you're going into a rehab.
His career postseason was 0-4 with a pretty high ERA. Pitched very poorly in postseason.
God, but I love both those guys.
They were both
especially
great.
Especially Gooden.
When they were on their game, they both were stellar, stellar players. I was really more of a Strawberry fan myself. Because he hit those outrageous home runs. And he did lead the league in homers one time, I think. Maybe twice.
I love that team because that's right when I started like collecting baseball cards and following baseball. Would have been around 83. So it was always Mattingly, Clemens, Gooden. Those were always the big cards. Strawberry. So
yeah,
I fell in love with that 86 team.
Straw had a great front end of his career, and he did rally a little bit a couple times toward the end. But you know, you would have thought he was a 500 home run guy. Hall of Fame.
Could have been.
We thought both of them were Hall of Fame guys, and neither one of them ended up being really even close. Anyway, here's the parade following the 86 World Series championship.
Jay Horowitz, who was the PR guy, he asked me, you know, make sure you get Doc.
That's true.
And I went by his house that morning, you know, headed to stadium to meet the team to go to the parade, and there was no answer.
The parade should be getting very shortly. The entire Mets organization will be riding. Many of them will have their families with them.
I just like, where is he? He was nowhere to be found.
Daryl, how are you feeling today?
Huh?
How are you feeling?
I feel super.
The official estimate of the crowd is 2.2 million people. The largest that we have ever had in any parade.
So lie about that.
Is it?
Those estimated crowd numbers are always way inflated.
Is that Koch?
That night was, should have been the happiest day of my baseball career. You know, winning a World Series, that's something you shoot for, celebrate with your team. Came inside, called my dad. We both shared tears on the phone. Then, unfortunately, the next call went to my drug dealer. Oh. Told him I was coming by to see him. And my goal was to go by there, pick up drugs, and then meet the team at this bar we all went to. Well, obviously, I never made it to the bar. drinking, you're partying, and the clock is like, I mean, the clock is doing like this. I mean, it's moving so fast, and you're thinking, okay, I'm going to leave here in 30 more minutes. Okay, I'm going to get one more hit, and I'm out of here. They say, you know, instead of 1 o'clock, now it's 3 o'clock.
Wow.
Now the sun's coming up. Now, like, oh, I got to get out of here. And then I finally get in the car and drive home, close all the blinds, make it dark, get on the couch. They say, okay, one more hit, one more drink. Now the parade's going. You're watching the parade, and you're not there.
Oh, my God.
Now all the depression comes in, the sadness, the self-pity. That was a horrible, horrible feeling. So that really hurt. That really hurt.
Jeez. I was just curious about that. That was the one thing I was always curious, you know, because I know everybody was like, where's Doc? Where's Doc? You supposed to know where he at?
Yeah.
I said, man, I don't know where he's at. He went home after the game, just like all the rest of us. You know, and he knew he was supposed to be back at the parade. I said, I went by his place and knocked on his door. I said, he didn't get no answer. Everybody's still looking around all the whole time to pray. You know, we're going, Doc, no Doc, no Doc. That's all they could talk about.
And that was one of the things that kept me sick for a long time, not letting that go.
Yeah.
Because you don't get to do it over.
Right.
Yeah, that was a tough one. That saved me for a long time.
That kept him sick for a long time? Is that what he's saying? Like,
yeah, he couldn't let it go. He mentioned that later again in the documentary. Like, he had a lot of trouble letting it go. Oh, there's my favorite picture with him, Doc and Straw and Lenny Dykstra chilling out in the dugout. Oh, those three dudes.
Okay, the 46-minute mark was the...
Peter Uberoth. Doc always thought he could beat a test.
Yep. He thought it stayed in your system for 24 hours.
Yeah, cocaine.
Really?
Which is, I think, 3 days is the amount, actually. But how could you do as much cocaine as he did, be constantly tested by Major League Baseball, and not know how long it stayed in your system?
Yeah. Well, this is the first time he was busted, though. First time he was tested.
Still. Right? But he's being tested. He knows he's being tested. I mean, it's very negligent, in my opinion.
Yeah.
How could you be so negligent about your drug testing? Jesus, Doc.
I agree.
Ask a question or two.
I remember it was probably the third week of spring training games. And I just went out to the bus. And I got in the front of the bus. I had a book or a paper or something. Some rustling in the back. I turned around and it was Doc. It was like a caged cat. And it was darting and dashing, sitting in his chair, and just, and I remember going, oh no, please, don't let this happen. Yeah, but what am I going to do? I'm going to go run and tell management? And I've certainly had my troubles too, so I was, from my past experiences, I knew inside that there was trouble brewing.
I mean, you did hear a lot of stories, and there was a benefit that Uberoth, Peter Uberoth, the commissioner, was attending, and Ray Knight was there, and Uberoth went to Ray.
Uberoth looks like Greg Kinnear.
We know that one of your black superstars, that's what he said, black superstar, is using cocaine. So Ray confronted Daryl, because everyone thought Daryl would be the one doing that stuff. And Daryl said, no, it's Doc. Gave him up like that.
Unfortunately,
Daryl sold me out to Ray Knight. Obviously, I denied it.
Dwight Gooden actually went to the Mets himself and said, hey, there's rumors out there about me. Go ahead and test me for whatever you want to test. Test away tomorrow.
Okay, and this is the guy that doesn't know how long it stays in your system. Test me. Go ahead, test me. He has no clue how long. It's ridiculous.
Maybe he thought they wouldn't test him.
It just wasn't good at buzz management.
By being so aggressive, maybe he thought, that would be a good cover.
Not bad.
But they said, we will test you. That's a good idea, Doc.
You want to.
Some reason I was on this crazy idea that it only stays in your system for 24 hours. So I figured I won't use it for 2 days and I'll take the test. They'll see it's negative and they'll leave me alone. And then even when I tested positive, I denied it at the beginning.
The New York Mets announced today that their 22-year-old pitching star, Dwight Gooden, will be sidelined indefinitely while he seeks treatment for a drug abuse problem.
I mean, normally if somebody has a problem like that, you can tell. But with what I knew about him, I was the biggest shock of my life.
That is such a lie.
Call my parents.
That was Davey Johnson. I think that's such a lie.
He never said one word. He just dropped his head. Never said a word about it. I felt real, real low because I knew I had really, really crushed him. I guess in 86, this commission officer was talking to Ray Knight. And Ray said, there's a black player on our team doing drugs. And he said,
This is Straw and Daryl now.
Yes.
Talking about this.
And by the way, he is kind of like a caged cat and quite fidgety sitting in this booth here.
I noticed that too.
Doc still has a lot of trouble.
Look too good to me.
No.
Daryl looks very healthy. Daryl looks like he's in a good place.
Yeah.
Doc, no.
Does he maybe not know when not to do cocaine, like on a bus when you're going somewhere and you can't get off?
I don't know.
Why would you
in an interview with 30?
To think he's doing blow, you know, for practice and stuff. I mean,
he's an addict. I don't know. Love the booze too.
I think generally people who have that mental addiction to cocaine, because it's not physically addictive, they need it all the time.
Well, he was an
alcoholic. No matter what you're doing, it's better with coke.
Remember, he was an alcoholic too.
Yeah,
that was a huge issue.
Big drinker.
Yeah,
it went to you. What did you say? It ain't me. It's Doc.
Ray said that.
Yeah, Ray Knight.
Well, see, okay. Well, let's clear it on there, because there was only two black players on the team, no stars.
Right.
And that was me and you. And I just told Ray it wasn't me.
Right.
You know, I never, you know.
Just the way you said.
Yeah.
He said it was you.
No, I said I said, no, it's not me. Right. You know. Right. And then I guess that's his own assumption. He comes and.
Am I with you?
Yeah, that it was Doc. You know, and they always say it. You know, that's the thing about it. They always try to put us like we. Because I ain't never said nothing like that, Doc. Right. I think you knew me better than that. Yeah. I would never throw your name up in nothing like that. Because I wasn't like that. You know, opinions, you know, from everybody.
Wow. It's always. After, yeah.
They've always been like that, you know.
That looks almost confrontational.
I don't believe Straw at all.
I don't either, because we already know the story about the chicks. They're both nailing the chicks in St. Louis, and Daryl's got his wife there, and he's pissed because Doc is having fun with his action. And so he tells his wife, man, look at Doc. He's getting all this ass on the road. He's married. His poor wife's at home. And so, of course, Lisa Strawberry calls his wife, as I mentioned before, and she came flying and busted him. She was in the room.
Mm-hmm. Dark.
She was in the room. I think she was nude. I think they were both nude.
Whoa.
Doc got a knock on the door, answered the door, and he's like, whoa!
Oh, my God. What a head rush.
Busted.
Holy crap.
All right, when's our next marker, Mark?
Well, what part do you want to go to? The escape from rehab? What's so weird about these guys. One guy will be clean, the other one still has problems.
Yeah, they were both suspended for a long time during the 95 season. Doc was suspended for the whole season. Daryl got 60 days.
I haven't marked at an hour 11. I guess on your TV it'll probably be an hour 9.
Are you sure it's not just at an hour 9?
No.
You did seem to mismark the previous. The first.
Do you want to come over tonight and look at it on its own
TV?
Yeah,
I do. I do.
Great.
I think there's an issue here.
Bring it. Well, I think the issue is DirecTV at my house just has a little extra time in the beginning.
I don't think there's great variation in these things, Mark.
I think there is.
I'm going off recording. I think we have a Mike Clark-like issue.
No.
Preparation was not as strong as you thought. No. By the way.
And time is time, by the way.
Mark thinks for consistency it'll be a 109. I want to see if Mark's theory pans out here.
Well, that one was off by 2 minutes. If it's not, then your system is really messed up.
I think there's
up.
Some sloppy record keeping over here.
If Xfinity doesn't do 60 seconds to a minute, it's not my fault.
Isn't time the same everywhere, though?
Apparently not.
It is the same everywhere.
Xfinity and DirecTV.
I recorded this on 3030 just like Mark did.
Yep. But DirecTV must add a little, nice little buffer. It's very nice of them.
Injury in your career, but this is like nothing you've ever had to deal with.
Damn it. This is before it. talking about colon cancer, I believe.
You got butt cancer, right?
Yeah.
By the way, ass cancer, I think I call it. That was that weird period where everyone was getting ass cancer.
Yes.
Tori had it, Strawberry had it, and Wade Boggs?
Yeah.
Wade
Boggs. Boggs.
Somebody else.
There were three Yankees, yeah.
Oh, Eric Davis had it.
Yes.
Eric Davis
yes.
and Straw were best
yes.
buddies.
Uh-huh.
And there was some debate. Straw apparently thought it might come from patting each other on the ass.
Oh, that's right.
Baseball players do, and it's really strange. There was even a suggestion it might have had to do with being around somebody's fart.
Hey, that's what he told
Straw
us.
Straw did not understand...
We talked to him, remember?
He didn't understand ass cancer, as he called it. Yeah, he didn't get it.
Transmit ass cancer?
Yeah.
Called it ass cancer.
Wow.
I'm just no longer interested in playing this audio. I'm interested in what time it is going to be on your DVR. I don't even give a shit about the 30
It's going to be 111, because you were paying attention this time, apparently. by the way, what did you think of Daryl's interest in, what do you mean, Dreamweaver? Oh, for Mark?
Oh,
for Mark's concern, what did you think about Daryl's concern about his personal health? He said his stool had blood in it all season long, had a lot of blood in it. He's like, well, I'll just take care of it at the end of the season.
He thought it was from patting each other in the butt. Great, bloody stool.
How crazy is that? If you have a lot of blood in your stool, I would think you'd call the doctor pretty quickly.
Yeah, maybe. You're scared to death, aren't you?
I mean, you might... might wait and see if it's in the next dump.
A couple more movements.
Yeah. But, you know, it could maybe be a fluky beats. Thing. It could be a weird thing. But he said it was in there the whole season. And then he's going to wait till the end of the season? That was, in fact, is that what he's talking about here?
I think so. Well, I think this is when he got out of.
Had surgery and had treatment for 6 months.
He's sitting?
I'm going back to see his original ass cancer diagnosis when he said it.
Daryl had some terrific years for the Yankees. Really fantastic years. Everybody forgets about that.
Well, hit in the right field, but gone!
I remember I was playing and I was having a good season, but I always knew something was wrong because I had a lot of blood in my stool and I was going to the ballpark day after day, drinking Maalox. And I just figured at the end of the year that I would go in and get a test. Because I'm a ball.
That just doesn't seem like a great
he's a ball
philosophy.
Player.
I don't know.
God. Too much
we don't care. We're going to play through some pain.
Yeah, see?
After the end of the season, that September, I went to the doctor and I found out I had colon cancer.
Daryl, you've dealt with adversity.
You recut that because originally you called it ass cancer. You really ought to recut
God,
that.
God, you sucked me in.
Injury in your career, but this is like nothing you've ever had.
I swear to God, this better be at 111.
We're at 110.
Cancer reoccurred. The colon cancer came back in 2000. Then I lost my left kidney.
Looks
in the
like that
surgery.
Middle marking just so was a little off.
There I was climbing another mountain.
Well, now I
want to
check every other marking I made.
I didn't want to face all that.
Did
so
ass cancer save his career then?
Always and relapsed. No. That was it.
From cocaine?
I was off to running.
No.
No, he did not stop doing cocaine when he had ass cancer. He was so upset about the ass cancer that he needed the cocaine to help him through it. That's what he said. That's what he said.
He put it directly on his anus so his butt would be numb.
A different clock tonight. The time lapse since Daryl Strawberry disappeared.
Oh, we're
every
at 111.
Hour
111.
A bleaker picture.
I feel like it's nowhere. I feel like it's nowhere near this part. This isn't it. Keep going forward. It's gonna be 113. I'm 2 minutes off the wrong way now.
So there was climbing another mountain and another battle that I had to deal with. I didn't want to face all that.
Wait, what's this marker for again?
It's
for the
supposed to be when Strawberry escapes rehab.
Isn't that what he was just talking about, though?
Fans
at this part?
Watching a different clock tonight. The time
yeah, okay.
lapse since Strawberry disappeared. Every
this
hour
time.
Missing paints a bleaker picture for the former superstar who vanished last Thursday from his drug rehab program. Longtime friend Dwight Gooden is said to be searching Strawberry's old haunts in Tampa.
Saturday night,
Gooden searching because he wants some of the crack. It's like, that must be a great party. I got to get to be part of that somehow.
But that's what I was talking about is like Strawberry's responsible for getting Gooden to the parade.
Yes.
And now it's flipped where Gooden has to go find Strawberry. Who's
the
missing.
Last two guys you want finding each other.
No, and then it flips later again when Strawberry's clean and Gooden's missing.
Yeah. And what's the shot of 2001 Odyssey nude?
Yeah,
nude girls? Is that where Straw was, apparently?
It's Florida, right?
Right, in the neighborhood in Tampa, because my hometown, and just X around a little bit, try to get any inside scoop on anything, but there's nothing there.
You probably won't remember where you was that night.
2001.
Oh, yeah. Yo, you do know?
Yeah, well, I remember.
2001.
I was in treatment.
Yeah.
And then Healthcare Connection.
Healthcare Connection, yeah.
I was out of my mind. I mean, they had set me in there for 5 months, you know, and then I was like, I ain't doing this no more. You know how the treatment is. Oh, you get there, and now they were. Time I said nothing wrong with me. I said y'all need to let me go, and they was telling me, no, you ain't going. You gonna end up dead or in jail for a long time. I said, well, I just need to end up dead in jail for a long time. Okay. And group that day, and I got so mad, I just called this girl. I said, come pick me up. I said, let's go. And she picked me up, and she had a pipe, and we got some.
Oh, nice girl.
I had an ankle bracelet on.
He's been in rehab for 5 months, and she shows up with a crack pipe. And some crack.
Sweet.
That's just brilliant.
How helpful.
Amazing how often you can find that when you're in rehab and people call or they want to go party. And there's always somebody's like, oh, man, I know how you feel. You've been in rehab for 5 months. Of course you want to get a buzz. My God.
You're going into a rehab.
Some great shit.
I said, we got to go now.
She start.
Yeah. You know, and we just went. We went all the way out in Daytona somewhere.
It really became
Did he mention the tether there?
Yeah, he did. He did. That's why he's like, well, we got to go. I just smoked crack and I'm wearing a tether.
We got some crack and I had an ankle bracelet on and I started smoking and I said, we got to go now.
She start.
Yeah. You know, and we just went. We went all the way out in Daytona somewhere.
Stay ahead of that
it
tether.
It really became very, very painful to watch themselves go down this constant spiral of negative behavior that had very, very serious ramifications.
Today,
I guess, a sad and enjoyable day for myself.
Oh, this is great.
Some more good and logic.
I've enjoyed a great career. Yes. I'm here today to announce my retirement.
Once I had the press conference, I'm retired.
Trudy, what's the most exciting thing about announcing that he's retired from baseball?
In good logic.
He can do as much blow as he wants to. He doesn't get tested anymore.
No more drug tests, Trudy! Nice job! Oh, my God, that was
brilliant.
In
the mind of Dwight Gooden.
I did not think of this yesterday. I was watching this. I was like, oh, he's retired. This kind of sad. Baseball's over.
Get away
from
it.
But no.
You can see how eager he looks, too, when he's talking about it. He's getting high on the idea of it.
But you on more good logic.
You know what? That's Straw logic, too, though, because when Straw was banned... Wait, who was banned for a year first?
Gooden was in 95
for
the full year. Yes.
Okay, then maybe it was him. For some reason, I thought it was Straw, but he's like, for the first time in my life, I didn't have baseball. I didn't have anything to do, so I just did more drugs and drank more.
He partied up a storm when he was banned.
Yeah, so nice.
They weren't testing him.
A lot of good that ban did.
I know.
So that was over. I mean, it hit me just that quick. You don't have to be tested anymore.
So just like it hit Trudy.
Two days later, started right back using.
And then come back 9 steps.
Each time it gets worse and worse.
I beg for it. You know, I beg for the fact that just let me die.
And you are remanded to commence serving a sentence of 18 months incarceration in the Florida State Prison System.
What stops an addict eventually is either fear of death, fear of incarceration, fear of losing their most cherished things. And a lot of times, addicts blow right through there.
Dwight Gooden. Go to the middle
of
the front row.
You end up violating your probation, and then you were sentenced to a year and a day.
That was horrible. I'm 40 years old. Now I got no connection to my kids, my mom, nobody.
On Thursday, Gooden was released from prison after serving 7 months for his latest infraction.
You got out of prison, and you went back to using again.
What happened? Right back to using.
Was that rock bottom?
Like,
what was rock bottom for you?
I mean, so many times I thought I hit rock bottom. Going to jail, going to prison, bike to rehab. Oh, so many times. This is it.
That's not rock bottom.
One thing I hadn't done is been to a cemetery. So I had to think rock bottom is a cemetery.
You know, he actually had a choice of rehab or jail, and he turned down the rehab because he didn't want to go to rehab because he thought they wouldn't put him in jail.
Oh,
he
really? Saw
it because he's Doc Gooden, they wouldn't put him in jail, and they gave him a nice jail sentence.
Gooden logic.
Yep. I think they gave him a year and a day, and he served 7 months. Wasn't that what happened? But I read Doc Gooden's book. It was exhausting.
Oh, really?
The police and the drug stuff got so exhausting. It's like, how can you get caught so often? My God. And then he's finally semi-clean. He's living fairly. He's not doing as many stupid things. And he takes Ambien and drives his kid to school, and he's driving over people's lawns.
Oh, my God.
All over the place.
Jeez.
And he gets pulled over, and then it's, you know, he's got a child in the car, and so it's, you know, I took Ambien, and nobody believed him, of course.
He just didn't drive. It's always from being pulled over.
What did you think of that first arrest when the Tampa police beat the shit out of him, and he wanted all that?
He said he grabbed his hand, but the police report had more. What do you mean?
Did you believe him at all?
I don't know, maybe.
He claimed that the police, because he was driving a fancy car, driving out of the projects, he'd be visiting his friends in the projects.
That part I believe him.
The party. And he's driving a fancy car to the projects, and they see this fancy car, and so they immediately are, like, all over the car. They pull him over. It's Dwight Gooden. And his attitude was, oh, it's a double bonus. And I thought it was just the opposite. Why would they want to get in a big to-do with Dwight Gooden, you know, the homeboy who's done so well for himself? I just didn't think that's the kind of guy. You know, it's
if
sort of
they
like,
knew it was Dwight. Did he say they knew it was Dwight?
Oh, they knew it was Dwight.
Oh, okay.
Gooden.
No.
Absolutely.
I don't think they'd want to make an example out of him.
No. And that's always the claim. Like, even with O.J. Simpson claiming they wanted to nail a black man. No. It's like, no, you're O.J. Simpson. You're not the average black man. And people that bought that O.J. Simpson was somehow being treated in a racist manner, that was ridiculous.
Total bull.
Another great piece of Gooden logic, which, Trudy, it'd be hard to ask you this because I don't know if you know how many things in baseball work. It's not a slight or anything, but the A's, when they're talking about the 86 Mets and how many fights they would get in,
yeah,
and Doc's telling the story about how Kevin Mitchell and Strawberry were like, hey, Doc, hit this guy. We want to get in a fight today. And Gooden's logic was, I will after the fifth inning so I can get the win. So he had no problem hitting the guy to start a fight, but he wanted to make sure he got the win, which you need five innings.
Yeah, you got to pitch five innings to get the win.
It's great Gooden logic.
And it worked for him.
That was good Gooden logic, I would say. That
yeah.
Was,
yeah.
Credit for that. A little self-centered.
You put in the productive part of your day.
Yeah, true.
The worst Gooden logic is, I'll take some more, and in a half hour I'll leave.
Right.
Oh, yeah. One more hit and one more drink. One more hit and one more drink. It's dark out now. I can't leave now. It's too dark.
Then he skipped out at the end, the very end. He skipped out on a charity event, and then they had him at another charity event, the dinner with Doc.
Oh, yeah.
He's a sweaty mess.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that was rough hearing him talk at that.
What a tale. I don't, you know, usually these 30 for 30s, they have some sort of a, you know, the ending is usually positive or it's like, I didn't get that feeling at all with this. Other than that, Strawberry is now a preacher. He's got a church.
New wife.
And he seems
keeping him on the straight and
narrow. He's got a white wife for a change.
Uh-huh.
Wonder what that's all about.
He doesn't see color.
Oh, okay.
He met her at a Narcotics Anonymous meeting.
That's funny. When he was a superstar, though, he had black wives. And then when he's back to being, you know, regular troubled Daryl Strawberry, just regular Daryl Strawberry, no longer professional athlete, no longer making the big bucks, then he has the white wife.
Black wives don't matter anymore.
Black wives don't matter. Wow.
Hashtag.
That's great. I know. I can't believe the stories you've told me about Al and his early overzealous sports fandom.
I know.
That just does not seem like Al to me.
There, you know, he's been thrown out of Mid-American Conference basketball games by the opposing coach.
That is positively stunning.
It's either Rick Majerus, remember him?
Yeah.
He who, you know, passed away, looking a lot like George Michael.
Yeah.
Rick Majerus. I think Charlie Coles might have kicked him out.
Wow.
You want to call him?
How close were his seats to the floor?
God, I don't remember. This is, I'm talking, I would be 10 years old going to a game with him and he'd be.
How embarrassed is he by the Wayne Fonts incident?
I don't know. You know, I've never asked him, Drew. I wonder if he even remembers. Can we call him?
Being thrown out of an arena?
No, he wasn't thrown out of the Silver Dome for making Mrs. Fonts cry. She just left.
No, but I mean, were those Eastern basketball games?
Yeah, Eastern Michigan.
And he's thrown out of the arena.
Uh-huh.
For?
Being an asshole. For yelling, for cheering.
But
for berating the opposing
cheering,
coach.
There's nothing wrong with cheering. You can rag the other team. How brutal was he being?
I don't know. It was. I. You know what? I bet you. I know what he'll say. He'll say that. Well, it wasn't me. It was the. I can't remember these guys' names, but they were brothers. They're out business owners in Ypsilanti.
Oh, and he got framed.
And he was. It was like a group of them that were really loud. I know.
And he took the rap. What did he yell that was so inflammatory?
We got to call him because I honestly don't know.
Were you at the game?
That game, when he was kicked out, I was not at that game. But I've been to plenty of games that were kind of embarrassing.
Silverdome memories.
The Silverdome. I was at the Silverdome game when Mrs. Font screwed. Not my proudest moment. I have Wayne's number. Should we reconnect him?
Did he know Mrs. Font was sitting nearby?
No. He's not that. He wasn't that big of a jerk. If he knew that, he wouldn't have done it.
But tossed out of Mid-American Conference basketball games? Tossed out of the arena?
But think about it. It's this small Mid-American gymnasium. Voices can. He had kind of a booming voice too.
This is a little apologetic.
Well, it's my dad.
Phil Howard apologizes.
That's my dad.
I told
okay,
you,
Adam Sandler.
It's a very dark point, and
I know it is. Well, he's a monumental sports fan.
Oh, the biggest.
He puts the fanatic in fan. I mean, I can't believe all the season tickets he had.
I called him to talk to him about something serious last week, and all it ended up being was about Eastern Michigan's bowl game. That's what I appreciate about him. Oh, hopefully Mom will answer, and we get her perspective first.
I answered Rosie's post.
Hello?
Dad! Al!
Yes?
We're recording the podcast.
Wait a minute. Oh, you are?
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Well, yeah, you came up on the podcast.
Oh, no. What did I come up for? What did I do now?
Well, it probably is an oh, no moment. Well,
I hear Mr. Groney in the back there.
Somebody was suggesting that you may have been thrown out of an arena for bad fan behavior on a couple of occasions.
Oh, never thrown out of an arena.
No?
Told that if I did anything again, I would be thrown. I was thrown out of the Ohio Stadium one time.
Oh, yeah, in 06. That's I think I've told that story.
Yeah, that's when I didn't have a ticket.
Yeah.
Oh. That flabbergasted the guy. The old farmer couldn't figure that one out.
Wait, but what... What were you yelling? What fanatic behavior were you exhibiting when you were threatened with being thrown out of an Eastern it was an Eastern Michigan basketball game?
Are you
right?
Sure you weren't thrown out?
No, I've never had to leave. I got thrown out when I was coaching the eighth grade team.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's a good story too.
What caused that?
The referee had a beard, and I didn't like people with beards.
That is true.
There must have been a call you didn't like.
Oh, there were several calls I didn't like.
And what was the call that the straw that broke the camel's back?
Well, it was a team that didn't have a lot of skills, okay? Unlike my seventh grade team, which went on to win everything all the time,
yeah,
including the state championship in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But this team had to fight for every inch, and this referee gave them nothing. So, I didn't like him.
Was there a call, a specific call?
Well, I just said, that does it, and I kicked the chair. And they had folding chairs, and they had one of those, you know, those half-tiled walls?
Yeah. Yeah.
That certain places have, you know, that's kind of like where the front row starts.
Sure.
Well, little did I know the chair was going to hit that and slide up and go way in the air and fly.
Oh, boy. You must have really kicked it.
What did you think was going to happen when you kicked it?
I thought it would hit the thing and make a noise. I didn't think it was going to fly up.
So you got technical and tossed?
Technical and tossed, yes.
Oh boy.
On that one, but I never in a...
At least it was seventh graders, though. It's not like it was little kids.
No, that was the eighth graders I got kicked out of.
Oh, okay, that's even better.
Yeah.
So Rick Majerus or Charlie Coles, I thought it was one of them kicked you out.
Oh, Charlie, Yeah, Charlie Coles chased me the length of the arena one time after the game was over.
Thank you.
Four?
Well, I just asked him how it felt to win the Mid-American Conference Championship with 7-5.
Charlie Coles coached for who?
Miami of Ohio. No, at that time he was at Central Michigan. Yeah.
Wait, and you asked, that's all you said?
Well, I kind of said it loudly to him. And I mean, there was no way, there was nobody between him and I when I said it.
How close to the floor was your seat?
Oh, we were right there.
Okay.
Near the press row.
Were you peppering him during the game?
No, he was on the other side.
Okay.
We peppered him every time he ever came to... Whenever he came to Eastern, we peppered him all the time. And he was, you know, he was a pretty good sport about it. Pretty good sport about it.
Well, he's across
the floor.
Because
he was a coach. Well, Charlie Coles, God bless his soul, was a coach whose players, and I got to commend him for this, his players never, ever... And all the time he was coaching, committed a foul.
But now, why is it his fault if the referee calls a bad game?
Oh, because he's Charlie Coles. That was good enough for us.
So Majerus,
We used to send him hot dogs and ice cream bars and stuff like that from the concession stand.
They take them down to him on the floor?
Well, took them right to him in the game, yeah. Well, Old Bone Fieldhouse was pretty... That was pretty easy access to everything there.
Yeah. How do you respond to that?
Don't send me no more food.
Okay, so as far as being tossed out of Eastern's arena, that did not happen.
No, this actually happened in Toledo at the MAC championship game.
Oh, okay, in Toledo.
But
that makes more sense.
I'm trying to remember. I don't remember. I got threatened one time.
Nothing with Majerus?
No, we used to give we liked Rick.
Was there maybe an incident at the Silver Dome with Mrs. Fonts, possibly?
No, that was Mrs. What's her face. Come on, Mark, who's the lineman?
Hey, are you sure you didn't make? Did somebody make Wayne Fonts' wife cry? The cocaine?
No, it wasn't Wayne Fonts' wife. It was Russ Bollinger's wife.
What?
Russ Bollinger's wife.
Russ Bollinger.
Why did she cry?
Oh. Well, they all sat right there. You know that.
But was that because of Cocaine Wayne?
No, I was yelling at the offensive line was so horrible. I said, where'd they get these guys at the Little Sisters of the Poor?
And she cried over that bad joke?
Well, I kept on Bollinger because he was getting all the penalties.
So
I didn't know who she was. I found out later, but I didn't know then.
How close was she sitting?
She was a row up.
Wait a second. Are you sure Wayne Fonce's wife?
No, I don't think Wayne Fonce's wife ever came to a game.
Okay.
What, did somebody just turn around and go, what's that lady crying about? Jeez. It's just a game.
No, they all knew. They all knew because I was getting dirty looks from the other wives.
Oh.
Cocaine
and
a hell of a drug.
My wife.
And from your wife. Yeah.
I'm surprised. Mom would not be happy with that.
I'm surprised.
No,
Rosie,
she was not happy.
She didn't try to. Did she try to temper your behavior during the games?
She finally told me she wasn't going to games anymore.
I haven't seen her at a game with you, I don't think.
She went to the Bears game a week ago.
Lions and Bears.
Yeah, but she won't go. She will not go to a basketball game with me.
Why?
She still thinks I yell at them, and I don't. I don't say a word.
No, you've been mellow for years. I don't know.
Oh,
why.
Yeah. What? Yeah, the best one ever. Old Bowen was a great place.
Yeah.
Because that front row at the end was right there under the basket, and you could give every referee in the place the raspberries, every opposing player.
Give them the raspberries, see?
But
I had one. Remember, there was a big center for Miami of Ohio by the name of Ron Paul.
Yeah, he ran
and
for
I
president.
I wrote him unmercifully because he was such an underachiever.
Al, I like how you justify this behavior.
And then this guy
I'm
comes
to motivate
down.
Him.
Yeah, then this guy comes down, looks just like Mike Paul. I find out it's his dad. He says, what do you got against Mike Paul? I said, well, he doesn't give any effort out there for one thing.
What is that?
The guy says, well, they're just kids. And he turned around and went back to his seat.
Oh, boy.
Well, how old was he, 20?
Oh, yeah, I'm 19, maybe. I don't know.
I don't think college basketball is a kid. Those aren't kids.
I had one referee laugh so hard he dropped the basketball at the free throw line.
What was this zinger?
Well, it was a 20-point game. Okay. And if you'll remember, there was a big, very popular series on TV on Wednesday nights called Saint Elsewhere.
Yes.
And nobody wanted to miss it, see? And they kept calling these fouls, and it was a 20-point game. I said, and I forgot the guy's name now. God, I can't remember his name. But I called him by his first name. They don't like that either. But I called him by his first name, and I said, hey, John. I said, John, you know, there's people here that want to get home to see St. Elsewhere, and you're just delaying this whole damn thing.
And that made him laugh that hard? Or he dropped the ball?
He laughed so hard. Yeah, he dropped the basketball.
Boy, tough room.
Had to be there.
Yeah, you had to be there, I guess.
No, it's fine. It's an accomplishment.
No, you have to remember, though, at Bowen Fieldhouse, there was never any fans there either. So, no. I mean, it was... You could sit up at the top and yell at them, and they'd hear you.
Weren't there two, like, twin brothers or two brothers that were Greek or something? That's...
Yeah, well, the people that owned Cottage Inn.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who they play for? Who the kids play for?
I think they were just
They were just Eastern fans.
Oh, just fans. Okay.
Mark, you'll remember this because you went to the NCAA game with me in Syracuse.
Yeah.
He got yelled at by the Syracuse people, the official stadium people or whatever the hell they were.
Yeah, I remember that.
Because the side that we sat on were the bleachers where they make it into a basketball court. And he kept slamming his leg on the anchor of it, and it was so loud.
Yeah.
What year was that?
91?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 91, yeah. I think it was.
Eastern had some good teams. Al, I just have one question. Why were you such a hothead back then? Because you're not that big a hothead now.
No, well, I hated to see these kids working so hard to get something and have some idiot in a striped shirt take it away from them.
Except for Ron
Paul.
Poor
kids.
Nobody cared about the kid, Ron
Paul.
Well,
and I didn't like overrated players.
But you're not.
But you know, it's like a guy named Bonzi Wells.
Oh, yeah.
He was never overrated. I liked Bonzi Wells.
Bonzi was great.
But you're
not. He was good. I didn't give him a hard time.
But you're not that big a hothead now. What's the difference?
No. Well, internally I am. I just don't.
Al, say hi to Rosie for us.
I will do that.
Thank you.
I think she's up cleaning the bathrooms or something. She's doing her woman's work.
Who wants to start new trouble? I hope she doesn't hear that.
Oh, Mark, you have to tell Drew about my pen.
About your what?
My pen. My Donald Trump pen.
Oh, God.
No. Bye.
Bye.
Have a good one, guys.
Okay, thanks, Al.
Yeah. Surprising to play it.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. That's my dad.